Notice his character. He was one that actually feared God. He was not involved in evil, but he was chastened in losing his possessions and his loved ones. And yet, in all of that, he still blessed God. It says, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Up until this time, you know, he was, we can't find any fault in him. He blessed God. He realized that these things had been given of God. God had the right to also take them away again. So he blessed God. Let's continue on, chapter 2. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. The Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord, and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. You know, at this point, how many of us would have felt the same way? What's the use of continuing on in our righteousness? We might think that God doesn't make a bit of difference anyway. Notice what Job told her. This was the one that should have been an encouragement to him, but she was actually was discouraging him or gave that thought. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? Shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. Why should we accept the good things from God and not also the evil? This was Job's thought, and it was correct. Still he did not sin. Now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon them, they came, everyone from his own place, Eliphaz a Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, for they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. And when they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not, why didn't they know him? Why didn't they recognize him? Probably the boils and the things that he was suffering had so disformed his face that they didn't even recognize him to begin with. It says they lifted up their voice and wept. They rent every one his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads toward heaven. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. Can we imagine the grief that he was going through? I don't think it was the possessions as much, but his sons and daughters, perhaps. And then his misery, the physical misery that he was going through. You know, if we'd be in that shape for even a half a day, we'd think it'd be pretty awful. But this was already 7 days and 7 nights. Then it's when Job, next chapter says, he opened his mouth and cursed his day. I believe his, he was discouraged, and he was wishing to die. He just wished that he could just pass on. We can get that way too, that things we think is just building up, and couldn't we just go on? But God's will is, as long as there's life here, God's will is for us to continue on, some purpose. his discourse with his friends and their accusations, you know, they were thinking, surely Job did something wrong that this has come upon them. Well, Job knew that he hadn't, but Job had the confidence that he was living to the best of his ability. But at this point, you know, his grief, it was wearing on him, and he was at the point where he just wished that he could die. And then if we'd go through the book of Job, we would see the discourse that they had. A lot of the thoughts that his friends shared were right and good, very good. We could get some good admonition from those. But they were accusing him of somehow you've done wrong, not recognizing that God is the sovereign one. God has a purpose for these things. And it doesn't always come upon someone just because they have done evil. And they seemed like they didn't recognize that. And then if we go to the last chapter again, the one that Brother Cletus started to read, the first six verses, we see how God has been speaking to Job and admonishing him, you know, that he is the sovereign one. Who is the one that controls all the universe and everything? And Job received advice. He received that admonition from God. He yielded to that. He submitted to that. And he confessed his wrong attitudes or his self-justification. And then I'd like to just go on now where Brother Cletus left off in verse 7.